Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. Awake! Why are you sleeping, O Lord?
Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever.
For our soul is bowed down to the dust.
Rise up. Come to our help.
O God, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us. You, with your own hand, drove out the nations, but them you planted.
You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free.
But you have saved us from our foes.
And have put to shame those who hate us.
In God we have boasted continually.
And we will give thanks to your name forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Awake! Why are you sleeping, O Lord?
Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever.
For our soul is bowed down to the dust. The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that, seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. All right, everybody, I'm not sure I've ever done this before, but it's test time. All right? Don't worry. You can answer silently in your heads, or you can wait for somebody else to answer out loud. Either way works fine. So, what is the third commandment? Hopefully you remember, or at least have an idea, that the third commandment is, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. I'm pretty sure most of you probably had at least an idea about that. You almost certainly probably, at least if you're like me, when I'm thinking of the commandments, I have to go in order, right? So I had to list the first one, and then the second one, and then I remembered the third one. But you probably got there, and that's okay. But now for the harder question, what does this mean? I'm not sure if many of you can remember. We actually talked about it probably, let's see, it probably would have been maybe even a year ago at this point, that we talked about it up front for our catechetical moment, but the meaning of the third commandment, according to Martin Luther from the Small Catechism, is we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And if you remember our epistle reading from today, it's clear that Luther, when he wrote out that meaning, was drawing from Hebrews chapter 4. Today, we're going to be diving into that Sabbath rest and how resting has anything to do with the Word of God. So we're going to start with the Sabbath rest. Then you hopefully all remember how God created the heavens and the earth. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that kind of stuff, right? And hopefully you remember that he did it all by speaking it all into being. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and so on and so forth. But for the purposes of our sermon today, the most important thing to remember is what he did on the seventh day. He rested. And maybe that makes you think that he didn't do anything. I think that might be kind of what our idea of resting is. Maybe when you think of resting, you think of taking a nap. Maybe you even think of going home and watching a football game later tonight. Maybe that's what you think of as rest. And in many ways, that very well could be rest. But instead, I want you to remember as well one of the other things that God did on that seventh day. On the seventh day, when he rested, he blessed that day. And recognize that when you bless something, that almost literally means you speak a good word at it. The Lord spoke on the seventh day. Now, this is just me speculating, so don't take this as Bible truth or anything like that, but I think it's entirely possible that God shared what he had done on creation with Adam and Eve on that seventh day. That when he rested, when he blessed that day, that's when he told Adam and Eve what had happened before then. Because remember, Adam and Eve were only created on the sixth day. But somehow they learned what had happened on days 1 through 5. It's entirely possible it was that Sabbath day that he did it. Though, like I said, speculation, so don't take that as gospel truth or anything. But what you should take as gospel truth is that the Lord makes a habit of speaking to us. Later on, after the Exodus, after the whole rest of the book of Genesis, and about half of the book of Exodus, God gave his people many, many laws. And one of them was the third commandment. And he gives it a little bit more context than what we normally hear when we're just going through the catechism. So I'm going to read this for you. Again, this is from Exodus chapter 20. when he's talking about the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Again, if you just kind of breeze through that, take a quick look at it, right? You might come to the conclusion that this third commandment is all about simply taking a break from your work. About taking a day off every once in a while. And make no mistake, that is part of the commandment. We are commanded to rest. Some of us struggle with that sometimes, but it is a law that God has put into place. But hopefully, as you were going through, you see that the reason you're supposed to rest is because it's supposed to be a Sabbath to or toward the Lord your God. You are not resting without purpose. You are resting to the Lord. How then do you do that? How exactly do you rest toward the Lord? How do you rest in a holy way? I'm not sure if you've ever thought about it that way before, but thankfully, the author of Hebrews has our back. And we get our text for today, which helps us to understand even more about what our Lord really actually wants us to do in order to rest for him. You hear in verses 9 and 11 from Hebrews 4, "There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." It is probably important for us to remember the context of when the third commandment came to the people of Israel. The Hebrews had just, our Hebrews book here that we heard from has just finished talking about this. They just finished talking about the disobedience of the wilderness, or of the Israelites in the wilderness. And it was talking about, well, what actually was that disobedience? And the author of Hebrews says that it was unbelief. That they didn't believe in their God. That they didn't trust their God. And we see that so clearly when the Israelites get to the promised land, the land that God was trying to give them, the one that he was fulfilling for them, and they refused to enter it because they didn't trust God. They didn't trust that God was going to drive the peoples out before them. They thought they would die if they went in there. And now, the author of Hebrews is trying to tell us how to avoid meeting that same fate. How to avoid getting to the place where push comes to shove and not believing in God. And he makes it clear. Right as soon as he's done talking about that same sort of disobedience, that unbelief, about how do we strive to enter this rest, he starts talking about the Word. He starts talking about resting in the Word of the Lord. You heard it in our reading. "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." How do you strive to rest toward the Lord? How do you make your rest holy? By ensuring that the Word of God is a part of that rest. And hopefully that doesn't surprise you. The Word of God is what makes everything holy. The Word of God is what just made Brenna holy with the water. The word that our Lord spoke in Matthew, which you heard. Go and baptize. This is how our Lord makes things holy. This is how our Lord makes you holy, and how he makes our rest holy. But notice the two-edged nature of God's sword. And many times you can talk about this as law and gospel, and I think that's a fair way to go. But I think I also want you to remember that when we're talking about a two-edged sword, the danger of it is that with a single-edged sword, you can usually be pretty sure, if you know what you're doing, to not cut your own hand off. Because there's a dull side that if the sword accidentally bounces off a shield and hits you in the shoulder or something, maybe you'll get a bruise, but it's not going to cut your hand off, right? But a two-edged sword, you have to be much, much more careful with. The two-edged sword, the blade cuts both ways. And again, this can be referring to the law and the gospel, and I think that's a very good way to go. But it can also be referring to the fact that we are supposed to apply the Word of God both to those around us, but also to ourselves. We talk a lot about sharing the Word of God with those around us, about how we are supposed to tell others the truth of where our Lord earned our forgiveness, of how he makes us holy, of what he did on the cross for the entire world. And that is most certainly true, and you are also most certainly supposed to share that with yourself. Sometimes it's easy to fall into the trap of sharing the word so much with other people that you don't share it with yourself, that you don't do any kind of personal devotion, maybe even to the point that you don't go to church on Sunday because you're going out and sharing it with everybody else. Or, of course, another way to kind of not do the third commandment correctly is if you think that resting so much means taking a break from everything that, again, you don't even do any kind of personal devotion on your Sabbath rest day. You don't come to church. You don't even watch anything on a live stream. It's very easy to fall into that trap. It's very easy to allow your rest to be dedicated to yourself rather than to the Lord. But you all are free to not do that. You are all free to do, in fact, exactly what you're doing right now. To come, to hear the Word of God, to have the Word of God shared with you so that you can rest with that Word for the whole rest of the day. So that you can be reminded again and again and again of the truth of what God's Son did for you. You are free to continue doing that. Free to continue being blessed by the word of the Lord so that when that day comes that we must all stand before the Lord and when we're going to be not hidden from his sight but standing there naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account, you can stand and you can be confident and sure that you are holy. That you are his because you have trusted the word that was spoken to you. You have believed in the God who died for you. You know that the one who to whom you must give an account is in fact Jesus, the very man who is God, who showed how much he loves you when he sacrificed himself for you on that cross. And you are free to trust that when you stand before him, that he will have already declared you not guilty, and that he will give you the robe of his righteousness to wear and welcome you into his kingdom, which shall never end. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.